Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're broadcasting live today from the state capitol in Pierre for the first week of the legislative session. And today is Interfaith Day in Pierre. And we're joined around the table here. We have with us Constanza Hagmeier. She's the bishop of the South Dakota Synod, ELCA. And Tanisa Islam is with South Dakota Voices for Peace. Bishop, welcome back. Nice to see you in a different location. Now we're in Pierre. We've been in Sioux Falls the last couple times we've talked. Welcome.
Yeah. Thank you. It's good to be here.
Tanisa, welcome back as well.
Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about Interfaith Day, because this is the third Interfaith Day, and I think a lot of people would say this is new, but it really kind of is. Can you give us a little background, Bishop, of ELCA's involvement with Interfaith Day?
So it used to be Lutheran Day at the Capitol, and then 3 years ago, my predecessor, Bishop Emeritus David Zellmer, changed it to Interfaith Day, along with Betty Oldenkamp from Lutheran Social Services. And it had then opened the doors for all of us, yeah, communities of faith, to come together.
Which is a big act of leadership, really. And it's continued to grow each year. Tanisa, tell me a little bit about your involvement in it this year and probably in the last 2 years as well.
Well, it's been transformational. It's brought out such a diversity of faiths, and made us very known in our state capital, where I think there's a lack of diversity in our representation. So by being here and showing up and being present in a day like Interfaith Day, it is also symbolic in terms of showing our representatives and our senators that they represent all of us, though we may not be able to come to Pierre often because of the drive or work or what have you during January through March. But really being known and being here as faith communities in solidarity is very important.
Tell me about the energy of the day, because I have my own answer for that. If you didn't know what was happening, you would come into the rotunda and you would say, "What's happening?" There's this a huge surge of energy. Tell us what today was like for you, Bishop.
It was really a gift. People frequently ask me, as I'm still new in this, what are the joys? What do you experience? And these are the moments of joy when I had all of these leaders of different faith communities standing there. And in essence, we just talked in the hallway. We all prayed in our own language, but we all prayed for the same thing. In just different voices and different names for the same hopes and dreams and God. So that was just very powerful. And to have, there was a spirit. I mean, there is this surge of energy that is just there that you couldn't create if you wanted to create it. It's a spirit thing.
Yeah. Tanisa, there would be some who would argue faith doesn't belong in the Capitol at all. We believe in separation of church and state. Why do this now? What is the point of bringing that into the halls of with lawmakers and politics? Why does it matter?
It matters because we are community. Right? All of us in different aspects have faith or no faith, and even those with no faith have joined us at this gathering in years past. But it's to show that we're a segment of the community that matters, right? And that we have commonalities, and that being together in the space where our lawmakers are making decisions that impact all of us is still important. We're not asking lawmakers to do anything particular to faith, but to know that as constituents, that the diversity of faith, even in a place like South Dakota, is very strong. And again, just being here.
And you've been here before, because certain legislation has been specifically addresses faith, or what you've said in the past, even attacks faith.
Yeah, unfortunately, our organization, South Dakota Voices for Peace and Voices for Justice, sister organizations, we started because we fight anti-Muslim, anti-immigrant, and anti-refugee bills and resolutions that were showing up here back in 2017. And I would like to think that the leadership that Bishop Zellmer showed, because of what was going on here in transforming Lutheran Day to Interfaith Day, was very transformational. And so it shows again, it's hard for our communities to be engaged in the process in general, but for the Muslim immigrant and refugee communities, it's a little harder. There may be language barriers, or there may be other barriers that our majority communities don't face. So for our communities to be civically engaged and to come through the lens of commonality through faith was an opportunity, again, to civically engage communities that have historically not been engaged here in Pierre.
Bishop, for people, and I'm going to try to say this with a straight face, but I think it's an important thing to ask, for people who say you two shouldn't really get along, and maybe in other places at other times you wouldn't get along, there's this great commission, you know, go make a disciple. For people who are kind of working from that foundation of theology that they heard growing up, what is your invitation to them regarding people of other faiths than Christianity?
We're people that, first and foremost, all world religions have the same commandment: love your neighbor. And that's why we're here. This isn't about whether or not one faith is righter than the other. And I think that's what we're here to stand for, because our world a lot of times says one faith is righter than the others, and truth to be told, then we're all wrong. In my tradition, Jesus would not invite us to separate ourselves to a degree where I start to exclude my neighbor and take rights away that are granted to me. How we interpret our faith and how we live out our faith is very unique for both of us, and I think there's lots from us to learn. I learned lots in the hallway from Tanisa about her tradition, but that does not mean that I forsake mine. But I think we're born with an inquisitive mind. Jesus called disciples, and they were inquisitive, and he answered their questions that didn't forsake his tradition. So
during the time that you refer to with some of that legislation, I remember having a man come to this show to talk to us about Islam. And one of the things I said to him was like, if somebody walked in here and asked me to explain Christianity, because I grew up in a Christian tradition, I'd be in a lot of trouble. And here you are answering questions about your faith tradition that a lot of people never take the time to move deeply enough. So for me, it's helped. All these conversations have helped me personally think about my own tradition more deeply, think about my own behavior more deeply. Would you say, Tanisa, that you would echo Bishop Hagmeier's about your faith tradition being fundamentally love your neighbor, not try to pick the hierarchy of whose faith is superior? Does that resonate for you?
100%. There, you know, I think in every text, every faith tradition, there are the good and the bad, right? And we as the followers of those faiths get to decide which parts we're going to concentrate on, the good or the bad, right? And the overwhelming majority of Muslims, as in the overwhelming majority of all faiths, seek the truth and the good and the love that comes from our faith that inspires us to be who we are. And similarly, the same is true for Muslims.
And what are we going to take into our future? We're doing an ongoing project about the future of faith, and so you're both invited back, individually or together, to have those conversations as we dive a little bit deeper into that. But Interfaith Day, the third Interfaith Day here at the Capitol Building today. Thank you so much for being here with us. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.